Fernanda carried a delicate calendar with small golden keys on which her spiritual adviser had marked in purple ink the dates of venereal abstinence, not counting Holy Week, Sundays, Holy Days of Obligation, First Fridays, retreats, sacrifices, and cyclical impediments. Her effective year was reduced to 42 days that were spread out through a web of purple crosses. Aureliano II, convinced that time would break up that hostile network, prolonged the wedding celebration beyond the expected time. Tired of throwing out so many empty brandy and champagne bottles so that they would not clutter up the house, and at the same time intrigued by the fact that the newlyweds slept at different times and in separate rooms, while the fireworks and music and the slaughtering of cattle went on, Ursula remembered her own experience and wondered whether Fernanda might have a chastity belt, too, which would sooner or later provoke jokes in the town and give rise to a tragedy. But Fernanda confessed to her that she was just letting 2 weeks go by before allowing the first contact with her husband. Indeed, when the period was over, she opened her bedroom with a resignation worthy of an expiatory victim, and Aureliano II saw the most beautiful woman on earth, with her glorious eyes of a frightened animal and her long, copper-colored hair spread out across the pillow. He was so fascinated with that vision that it took him a moment to realize that Fernanda was wearing a white nightgown that reached down to her ankles, with long sleeves and with a large round buttonhole, delicately trimmed, at the level of her lower stomach. Aureliano II could not suppress an explosion of laughter. "That's the most obscene thing I've ever seen in my life," he shouted with a laugh that rang through the house. "I married a sister of charity." A month later, unsuccessful in getting his wife to take off her nightgown, he had the picture taken of Petrakotes dressed as a queen. Later on, when he succeeded in getting Fernanda to come back home, she gave in to his urges in the fever of reconciliation. But she could not give him the repose he had dreamed about when he went to fetch her in the city with the 32 belfries. Aureliano II found only a deep feeling of desolation in her. One night, a short time before their first child was born, Fernanda realized that her husband had returned in secret to the bed of Petrakotes. "That's what happened," he admitted, and he explained in a tone of prostrated resignation, "I had to do it so that the animals would keep on breeding." He needed a little time to convince her about such a strange expedient, but when he finally did so by means of proofs that seemed irrefutable, the only promise that Fernanda demanded from him was that he should not be surprised by death in his concubine's bed. In that way, the three of them continued living without bothering each other. Aureliano II, punctual and loving with both of them, Petrakotes, strutting because of the reconciliation, and Fernanda, pretending that she did not know the truth. The pact did not succeed, however, in incorporating Fernanda into the family. Ursula insisted in vain that she take off the woolen ruff which she would have on when she got up from making love, and which made the neighbors whisper. She could not convince her to use the bathroom or the night lavatory and sell the gold chamber pot to Colonel Aureliano Buendia so that he could convert it into little fishes. Amaranta felt so uncomfortable with her defective diction and her habit of using euphemisms to designate everything that she would always speak gibberish in front of her. "Vifisif," she would say, "ifisif, onefos, offosif, dofosif, husufu, cantantant, stantantant, vefesef, smufu, melu, offosif, verisir, offison, shifisit." One day, irritated by the mockery, Fernanda wanted to know what Amaranta was saying, and she did not use euphemisms in answering her. "I was saying," she told her, "that you're one of those people who mix up their ass and their ashes." From that time on, they did not speak to each other again. When circumstances demanded it, they would send notes. In spite of the visible hostility of the family, Fernanda did not give up her drive to impose the customs of her ancestors. She put an end to the custom of eating in the kitchen and whenever anyone was hungry, and she imposed the obligation of doing it at regular hours at the large table in the dining room, covered with a linen cloth and with silver candlesticks, and table service. The solemnity of an act which Ursula had considered the most simple one of daily life created a tense atmosphere against which the silent José Arcadio II rebelled before anyone else.